Some of you may have already heard it. I'm preaching the ABC of the gospel, okay? What I do is to throw out the lifeline. We want people saved. I don't care so much about protocol. We care about altar call. What do you say? Do you say amen? Yeah. All right. Well, that's me too. And when I was once speaking in the House of Parliament, and I saw that speaker with his wig, he looked so funny. And he said, "We have Reverend Bonnke to address the House." I stood up. I said, "Mr. Speaker, I am a speaker also. I'm a mouthpiece of the living God." And when I came to the end of my message, I all of a sudden thought, wow, I'm in the House of Parliament. I can't pretend that I'm here in a crusade meeting. What about protocol? The moment the Holy Spirit spoke to me, no protocol, make altar call. Hallelujah! And it worked. More than half say, "We want to receive Jesus as our Savior." And the Speaker of the House said, "I give to Reverend Bonnke my office for personal counseling." We serve a mighty God. I want to tell you a little story that touched my heart so much. It's one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. And then I will read my scripture because it all connects, okay? We were somewhere in the Congo. I don't want to give you the name. You will understand in a little while why. We had a crusade there. My crusade director, Stephen Mutua, said to me when I arrived, he said, "You know, over there is a prison. You've never seen anything like it. It's as if it is a medieval prison. 50, 60, 70, I don't know, 80, maybe 80 men condemned to death. Come and have a look," he said. "I already preached there. Some of them got saved, and they have no services. Please come and preach." I said, "Thank you, I'm coming." I went. When I entered that place, it looked exactly as he had described it to me. There were these men sitting. Thick chains were welded on their wrists. They could not be removed. Chains so thick, I thought no elephant could break. And round their ankles, thick chains. And they were singing. There were some planks laid across some barrels, or what do I know, or boxes. And I sat right on the last bench, so to speak, and heard them sing. What did they sing? They sung, "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in him." They had no instrument, but they had their chains. And so they were swinging their chains in rhythm. "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made." It sounded a little bit macabre to me. While I sat there and I watched the song leader shaking his chains, when suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me, he said to me, "Tell the song leader he's going to be released and he's going to become a preacher of the gospel." Whew, I started to perspire. I said, "Lord, are you sure?" The Lord said, "I'm very sure. Tell him." I called an interpreter. I said, "Get me that song leader. I have a word for him." He came. We stood alone. I said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Richard." I said, "God spoke to me. And this is what he said. You will be released. And you will preach the gospel." When I said that, his chin dropped. His face discolored. I looked into a bloodless face. He turned his head and looked over a high wall, the high prison wall. Outside was a huge tree. He said to me, "Can you see the tree?" I said, "Yes, I can." He said, "Once a month, the hangman comes from Kinshasa. And all of us are lined up at that tree. The hangman throws the rope over the lowest branch. The people from the town come to witness. It's outside the prison. And then he puts the noose around the first neck and pulls him up. When he stops wriggling, he's let down. The hangman takes an axe, cuts off the hands and the feet to recover the chain for the next one. Number two, number three, number four. He said, "I already stood three times in that queue. And every time the noose was to come around my neck, the hangman said, 'I'm tired today.'" "I come back next month." He said to me, "He's coming next week. And I think I'm the first in the row this time." "What did you say?" I said nothing. "But thus says the Lord, you will be released. And you will preach the gospel." He shook. I said, "Give me your full name. I want to pray for it." I preached. Some more got saved. When I left, I was carrying Richard on my heart day and night, every waking moment. "Lord, save Richard. Release Richard. Only you can do it." Suddenly the Holy Spirit speaks to me again. He said to me, "Go and see the governor and tell him about Richard." I make an appointment. The governor is very willing to receive me. I arrive there. When I arrive, he wasn't even there. He had to go to Kinshasa, but his wife was there. His dear wife, Madame. I said, "Madame, I was in prison. I saw a prisoner when God spoke to me. His name is Richard so-and-so. The Lord said to me, this man must be released. Because he is to preach the gospel." The lady said to me, "That has never happened. This cannot be done." Little pause. She said, "Maybe." "Maybe," she said, "if you would pay for the education of our children in the United States of America, maybe we can talk about it." I said, "Dear lady, number one, I have no money. I'm a missionary. I have no money. And number two, if I had it, I wouldn't do it. I cannot pay a bribe. And I will not." She jumped up, very angry, turned on her high heels, and rushed towards the exit door. My heart sank. Right before she disappeared, she stopped and looked at me one more time. I said, "Madam, before you go, don't forget, tell your husband, Richard must be released because he is to preach the gospel." She disappeared, slammed the door. I walked to the car. I said, "Oh Lord, I infuriated Madame. I think they have now their eye on him. He's going to hang first next week. That's what the devil told me. But I tell you, we are not here to accept fate. We are not people of fate. We are people of the divine promise. And of the Almighty God." The crusade was fantastic. I prayed every moment. Every moment with a heavy heart. I returned home when the phone rang. Somebody said to me, "You will never believe it. Richard has been released." "And he wants to go to Bible school." I said, "I pay for it." Oh, hallelujah. He studied for 4 years, has become an ordained minister of the gospel. A few years ago, I was in Kinshasa for a gospel crusade. I just had the closing service. There were about 350,000 people. When my crusade director said to me, "Reinhard, when you come down those steps, there is a surprise waiting for you." When I came down those steps, suddenly a Congolese pastor came running full speed, first class suit, fat Bible under the arm. He came running, fell at my feet, kissed my shoes, grabbed my legs, and cried, shaking in his whole body. I said, "Hey, what are you doing there?" I loosed my legs. I lifted him up. I looked into his eyes. I thought, "I know these eyes." And then I knew it. I said, "Richard. Richard, is it you?" "Yes, it is me." He's a successful pastor, a wonderful child of God, a mighty man of God. But I've learned one thing. Jesus can break and will break every chain here tonight, including the chain in your brain. Hello. He will also break every curse tonight before this meeting is over. If anyone suffers under any curse, that curse will be blasted to smithereens. In Jesus' name. Are you ready now? And many who walked in here with invisible chains, you're not going to walk home tonight. You're going to swim home. And the blessings of the Lord. Now, I want to speak tonight the ABC of the gospel. Very simple, but very profound. I want to speak to you about Jesus, the life saver. The life saver. And my theme I got from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25 gives me my theme. Here it says, "And he will spread out his hands in their midst as a swimmer reaches out his arms to swim. That is my theme. And now, my text. The text is Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that are lost. Say amen. Amen. Jesus, the Savior. There's only one Savior in this world. I preach to people of all different religions all the time. And you know what I tell them? I say, no other religion can steal from us Christians the cross. And I will tell you why. Because nobody, absolutely nobody in the whole world has died for the sins of the world on the cross but our blessed Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Therefore, only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. And we are here at the right place. When God created Adam, he didn't ask him for permission first. None of us was asked for permission if we wanted to be born. But we are all asked for permission if we want to become born again. And this is going to happen here tonight. He shall stand in their midst like a swimmer with open arms, ready to jump into those deep, murky waters to save the drowning person. I believe it's a picture of Jesus. Open arms. You see, if sin was water in this world, I think the highest mountain would have already been covered with water for a long, long time, and we would have all drowned. If sin was water. But this picture is being used here by Isaiah. He shall spread out his arm like a swimmer, ready to jump. For what? Not for recreation, but for salvation. Jesus is ready to jump. Some people drown in a sea of fear, anxiety. Compulsions. Fear in the morning, fear at noon, fear at night. And they cannot help themselves. They battle with those waters of fear. And they don't know what to do to come out of such a condition, such a terrible situation. If you struggle with fear, it keeps pulling you down in spite of all medication, may I say. Somebody here tonight is watching you. Right now he's watching you. And his arms are already spread out. He's watching you and he's ready to come to your rescue. Before this meeting is over. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I never forget. You know, some people have got. One doctor said to me, Reverend Bonnke, are you aware of the fact that there is a difference between real fear and imagined fear? I said, is there a difference in the pain? He said to me, no. Well, I said, if there's no difference in the pain, I don't even want to know the difference. But I think one day I met a woman, and she had that imagined kind of fear. She intercepted me right there when I was walking to my car after a meeting, and she said to me, preacher, pray for me. I'm addicted to tranquilizers. I'm addicted to Valium. I turned around. I heard the cry from inside. But I'm a curious type of a man. I said, how does it go? She said, I can't sleep at night. I said to her, why can't you sleep at night? And to my surprise, she said, because the dog is barking every night. I couldn't believe my ears. I said to her, dear lady, if I were you, I would give my Valium to the dog. Now, don't get me wrong. I love dogs. But I think before I would poison myself, I would make sure that Snoopy sleeps at night. People drowning. Drowning. They don't know how to be delivered. But somebody is watching. He's watching you. His arms are already spread out. He's ready to jump, ready to come to your rescue. Are you happy about that? His name is Jesus, who has come to seek and to save those who are lost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus saves. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was the very purpose he came into this world, and that is the very reason why he is here tonight. I tell you another story, what happened to me in Germany. I've used it many times in the meantime, but my goodness, I'll never forget it for as long as I live. I just have preached in Germany to 10,000 people. And here comes a certain gentleman. And he says to me, preacher, I'm impressed the way you sway people. Somebody said I was a master psychologist. Isn't that funny? I never studied one semester. Master psychologist. He said to me, I see you are effective. He said, I'm also a spiritual counselor. But I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But I do counsel people. So I said, well, how do you counsel people if you don't believe that Jesus saves? I said to him, okay, let me draw up a picture. Here comes a couple, husband and wife. They are just on the point of divorce. They come to you, both with bleeding hearts. They ask for your help. I say, do you counsel them? And then they go home the way they have come. They came with pain. They go with pain. Oh no, he said, very superior with an Oxford accent. He said, no, no, I just calmed them down. I calmed them down. I calmed them down. And when he kept repeating that I am calming them down, the Holy Spirit touched me. Goes just like that. I said, mister, a man on a sinking ship needs more than a tranquilizer. Don't calm them down because they are already going down. I said, a man on a sinking ship needs three things. Number one, he needs rescue. Number two, he needs rescue. Number three, he needs
rescue.
Help! Somebody is watching him. His arms are already wide spread like a swimmer, ready to dive into those cold waters, and with powerful strokes approaching to grip that man and that woman. I said to him, Mister, now I want to tell you what Jesus does and you can't do. I said, when Jesus sees a man and a woman on the sinking ship, here comes Jesus. He sees them there. When he sees them there, he is not digging in his pocket for a handful of Valium, tranquilizers, throwing them over the boiling sea onto that shipwreck and say, take five immediately, and at least then you can perish in peace. Jesus did not come for us to perish in peace. You can die, maybe quiet, with an injection of morphium, but you can only die saved in the arms of Jesus Christ. I said, Mister, when Jesus sees these people, a miracle happens because the Bible says his arm is extendable. He reaches over that boiling sea, grips those people, that woman, that man. He grips them both. He lifts them. He pulls them to himself. He looks into their eyes, and this is what he says to them. Because I live, you shall live also. Hallelujah! Jesus says, I don't care how the devil has tormented you. Tonight, the swimmer is here, the Savior. His arms are already open. And in a moment, you know what you must do in order to find eternal salvation. And okay, let me hurry quickly. Some drown in a sea of fear. Others drown in a sea of beer. Alcoholism is nothing to joke about. It's a curse and a half. What I have seen among people breaks my heart. How children lost their parents. How husbands lost their wives and wives lost their husbands. Oh my God. One man was asked why he was drinking all the time. And you know what he said? He said, I am drinking because I want to forget my wife. He must have had a monster for a wife. And then he goes into the pub, the shabin, fills himself up. And then when he arrives at his own door at home and he opens the door, he sees his wife double. Instead of having one monster, he has now. I'm not joking. I'm telling you this in the name of Jesus. Alcohol has never yet solved one problem, but it has created millions. It may be drug addiction. It may be addiction of any kind. And you don't know what to do to come out of this vicious circle. Good thing you came here tonight. Somebody is already watching you. Somebody with his arms outstretched. A swimmer. Ready to come to your rescue. Are you happy? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I could go on and on and on and on. Jesus is here to rescue your broken marriage. He'll take the dagger out of your heart and your wife's heart. And instead of having a divorce, you're going to have a new honeymoon. Jesus has a way to put the honey back into the moon. Hallelujah! He's a savior. It's his nature. And he is here, his arms spread out. Ready to jump. Ready to jump. He's also here to save backsliders. Miserable backsliders. I always say miserable backsliders because up to today, I've never met a happy backslider. And I have no idea why people, let me make a proposal to you. If you love to backslide, okay, instead of sliding away from Jesus, why can't you slide away from the devil tonight? Let the devil gnash his teeth because he says, that man is my backslider, but you are the prodigal that has come home. And you received your ring on your finger. Say amen. Amen. Now, I have to hurry up because the best is still to come. Here is the swimmer. Spreading out his arms to swim, to come to you personally. And I want to say to you, the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart. Those of you who have been overlooked in the past, Jesus is now looking at you. And the overlooked shall be saved and become overcomers instead. Hallelujah! Now, there's one thing. You see, Jesus watches you. He sees all your troubles. Even some of you may drown in sickness. He sees your trouble. He's ready to come to your rescue. But he cannot jump. Now listen. He cannot jump just like that. You have got to give him permission to jump and to come to your rescue. You see, the reason is simple. God respects your will. He has given you that will. He has given you the power to make that decision. Yes or no? So, if you believe that Jesus is here, ready to save you, you've got to give him a sign. Because nobody is being kidnapped to heaven. In heaven will only be volunteers. And you have to say yes to Jesus. The Bible calls it, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a call, that is a sign. If you don't have the power anymore to call, you can just wave a hand at him, because he's looking anyway. He's looking. He's watching. He's watching. And if you give him a sign, the next moment, he will plunge in with powerful strokes. He will grab you and save you and bring you to the shore. Are you happy? When you are at the shore, I'm going through the whole process here today. When he has brought you to the shore, the next thing has to happen. He has got you out of the water, but now he needs to get the water out of you. He has pulled you out of sin. Now he needs to get the sin out of you. And he knows how to do that. All that junk inside. All that rubbish, that rottenness that nearly killed you is going to come out. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Yes, you have got to separate from that sinful world. You out of that sinful world, and the sinful world out of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a decision. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Believe it or not, I found even more. I found even more in Scripture. I give you the reference. This is too fantastic. It's in John 20, verse 22. When Jesus has saved you, he brought you to the shore, he got you out of the water, and then he got the water out of you, and now you are breathing. Then he has to do something else. Although you are already breathing, he has to resuscitate you. In other words, he will give you a kiss of life, of eternal life. This is what he did in John 20, 22. It says there, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Tonight you're not just going to be saved. Jesus doesn't save us like you save a dog, a drowning dog. When you save a drowning dog, it's not so bad. You pull him out of the water, you dump him here, and then you continue your Saturday afternoon walk. When Jesus saves you, as he saved me, he died for you. He paid such a high price for you. He empties you of the waters of the world. And then he's breathing on you. Oh. And he will say, receive the Holy Spirit. Shall I tell you what happens as a result of it? That alone is the guarantee that you will never, ever again fall into the old waters. You become drowning proof. You become saved forever by the grace of God. Are you happy? Are you happy? If you don't enjoy my preaching, I enjoy it myself. Hallelujah. Hey. I've got one more point. Will you give me time for one more point, please? Oh, I've got to drink something to put the spit back into my mouth. It's Coca-Cola. I don't know whether this is scientific or not, and that's not really the point, but we are told when somebody drowns, he's not drowning the first time, he's going under. He goes under once. He comes up once. He goes down for the second time. He comes up the second time. And they say, if somebody goes down for the third time, he only come up as a corpse, dead. My heart is in awe. The awe of God and the awe of this opportunity. Maybe somebody has come already up once and twice and kept postponing it. Maybe here are ears that hear the gospel today for the last time. I beg you, for the sake of the salvation of your eternal soul, give Jesus a sign and say, Lord, I have nobody hanging on my feet, but I have heavy chains that the devil put there. Break them now, and he will come, no matter what the weight. And he will break every chain and set every captive free. And he will do with you what he did with Richard. You will not only be released to something, you will be released to spread his praises and to build his eternal kingdom and become filled with the Holy Spirit. There may be some Christians who are acknowledged as great Christians. Everybody bows and says, what a man, a holy man. And yet, inside, it's all rotten. You have to eat a lot of peppermints. It's all rotten. Well, you can bluff your wife, and you can bluff your husband, and you can bluff your neighbor, but you cannot bluff him. And that's why I'm saying, for your own soul's sake, please give Jesus the permission to come and set you free. And he will make you free indeed. This is what the word of God says. One young man said to me, I'm 20. I still have got 60 years ahead of me. I get saved when I am 79. I've got 60 years ahead of me. That moment the Holy Spirit touched me again, just like that, quickening my mind or giving me a revelation. What shall I call it? I said to him, young man, listen to one thing. Listen to one thing. The gate of eternity is never ahead of us. The gate of eternity always runs parallel to life. And you can cross over any day. Who tells you you've got 60 years? Who tells you you are alive tomorrow? What guarantee do you have? That's why the Bible says, today if you hear his voice, open your heart. Now is the accepted time. This day is the day of salvation. Jesus is now looking. Who is here to, who has the courage of his or her conviction? Just by giving a sign to Jesus would be my greatest honor. To pray with you the prayer of salvation. And after that, we are still going to pray for the sick. But right now, I'm only praying for those who need to be rescued from the sea of sin. Are you ready? Are you ready? Then please, let's close our eyes in the presence of the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for everyone whom you have brought into this building. There is no coincidence. Your hand is involved. And now I pray, O Lord, everyone battling with the sea of sin may be rescued now and filled with your Spirit for time and eternity. While all eyes are closed and we are in the holy presence of a holy God and the presence of the Holy Savior, Jesus Christ, if anyone is here who says, I am drowning in sin, either I've never heard such a message before or I am a miserable backslider. Today, I want to slide to Jesus into his wonderful arm. If you are ready to give Jesus a sign to come and save you and you want me to pray for you, then please lift your hand. Let Jesus see that hand right now. Lift it high, please. Lift it high. Wave it to Jesus. If you can still wave it, wave it. Thank you, 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 thank you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This day is indeed a day of salvation. Do I have the musicians up here, please? This is the day of salvation. I would like to just move forward now quickly. I'm asking everybody to stand. Everybody to stand. And we are going to sing a wonderful, wonderful welcome song. The quicker the better, my dear singers. And then all of you who lifted their hands or should have lifted their hands, I'm asking you to come right here to the front. I want to pray with you right here. And I'm going to break every chain in the name of Jesus. Come quickly. If I were you, I would run. Come now in Jesus' name. Have you got a song? I feel in my heart here are more that desperately need to come. If you're next to someone who wants to come but is scared to come, come with him. I'm not closing an altar. I've not been called to close an altar. I've been called to open it, not never to close. That's not me. I don't know how anyone can close anything when Jesus has opened the door. Just step forward. We sing it again. We sing it again. I think I look as if I've been pulled out of the water too. But one thing I know for sure. Just look at me, please. All of you who have come, I want to congratulate you. It's the most important decision you have ever, ever made in your life. It determines your eternal destiny. And your life will change just like that. From sinking to running for Jesus. I want to pray with you the prayer of salvation. And after that, I'm going to pray with my young colleague, Daniel. We're going to pray for the sick. We just continue in this flow. And I believe we are going to see mighty miracles here as well. Say amen. What must we do to be saved? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to assist you now in calling on the name of Jesus. And the moment we call on the name of Jesus, a miracle happens. The Holy Spirit will carry that, what Jesus did for you on the cross. He will carry it into your experience, into your heart, and into your life. That's why I'm so very, very, very sure every curse will break. Every devil will leave. Every sin will be forgiven. Even if you should have blood on your hands, every sin will be forgiven. Jesus forgave my sins. He will now forgive your sins. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm asking all of you that came forward, if possible, just close your eyes and lift your hands to heaven. And repeat this prayer after me, loud and clear, but involve your heart. You can cry from the bottom of your heart this prayer to heaven. It will be well received. I'm asking everybody to do it here in this building. Lift your hands as well and pray with those who pray it here in front. We will support them now. Let's pray. Say,
Dear Lord Jesus Christ,
I am a sinking soul.
I battle with the waters of sin.
But I heard tonight
that you came into this world
to save people like me.
I call upon your name.
Jesus Christ.
Son of God.
Save me now.
Bring me to the shore.
Pull me out of the water.
And get the water out of me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Create within me a new heart.
I renounce my sinful life.
I repent of it all.
And I now receive your salvation.
I believe with my heart.
What I speak with my mouth.
Jesus has saved me now.
I belong to Jesus.
For time and eternity.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Listen. I want to exercise the authority that Jesus Christ has given me. And I want to break every curse. Whether it's an hereditary thing, whether it's a family thing or a personal thing or anything. Any chain, even the chain in the brain, it will be broken forever. And you are free. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. That is the guarantee. Backsliding is becoming impossible. Are you happy? If you are bound by some kind of chain, I know you already invited Jesus in your heart. If you're bound by some kind of chain, everybody closes their eyes. This is not a show. But if you are bound by some kind of chain and you cry out for deliverance from alcohol or from maybe nicotine, or drug addiction, or whatever, Jesus will now cut that chain. And you will be released to freedom. If you want to be set free from such a curse, just lift your hand and I will exercise this authority. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I now exercise the authority that you have given to us when you said, I give you power over all the power of the devil. And Lord, I exercise this power that you have given us now. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse from any individual, on any family, on any business, on any person represented here. I break that yoke in Jesus' name. Every torment shall now be broken. Every evil habit shall now be broken. You will be faithful to your wife. You will be faithful to your husband. I break every yoke of immorality in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now, Lord, I thank you that you pour out your blessing and that these precious brothers and sisters will be loaded with blessings as they go home a little later. I bless you. 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 I bless you all in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey. Are you happy? You see, the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And I always thought what is allowed in heaven cannot be prohibited in Cape Town. Let's give the Lamb on the throne a mighty hallelujah. Hallelujah! Lord, I present these men and women, these boys and girls, as your precious children for whom you died, that they may be saved. I pray, Lord, that all of them be filled with the Holy Spirit, and many of them will do with a microphone that I also do. I bless you in Jesus' name. We are people who will become preachers of the gospel. Even